Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And once again, it's just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Titus, we've been going through on Sunday evenings and teaching on the divisions of the Bible. And in each division, every book in that division and why we have that book, the purpose of that book, the message God has for us through that book. And so it's helpful when you're going through and doing your own Bible study. You'll have a little bit more insight into every book of the Bible and know that they are in divisions. We are in the Pauline epistles, the division of the New Testament, the letters that God used Paul to write. All of them were inspired by God, just as the Old Testament writers as well. And God has preserved them for us. And so the Pauline epistles. Within the Pauline epistles, we have pastoral epistles. And these are the letters that Paul wrote to the pastors concerning the doctrines and the organization of New Testament churches. And so it's very important that we understand these pastoral epistles and we look to govern our church with the Bible being the authority of the church and doing things the way that they did when Christ established his church. And then as he instructed his apostles to be able to carry, to pass that down to disciples. And of course, after the apostles, after the apostolic age, they had the completion of the New Testament scriptures. And then from there, they have been passed down from generation to generation. The Bible doctrines and the church and the purpose of the church, the government of the church, the organization of the church. And I trust that what we do here at this Lighthouse Baptist Church is somewhat the very same as they did it in that first century church and the way that it was established by the Lord to get it done. Now, again, we know that the societies have changed. Different things are different in every dispensation time and every generation. But the truth is the truth. And how we worship and why we do what we do is the same. And that's what we're going to be looking to get into tonight. The book of Titus was written in between the 1st and 2nd Timothy. In chronological order, 2nd Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote before his homegoing. But somewhere in between 1st Timothy and 2nd Timothy, which again, that was a pastoral epistle, Paul writes to another young pastor name of Titus. And the theme of this pastoral epistle is the importance of the New Testament pastor, the New Testament pastor. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read the first five verses here. First five verses in Titus in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for opportunity to be in church. And for God being able to attend an assembly like this that is based on the Word of God. And as we have the doctrines that you have given to us, we know that you're here in the midst with us. And God, you know what's taken place in the lives of all that have assembled here tonight. And I just pray, God, as we study and we preach and teach on this first, on this book of Titus, that you would take this and you would apply it to each and every one that's here as they have need to have it applied. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, verses 1 through 3, we find here that Paul is presenting his commission and the authority that he has to be able to do what he's doing as an apostle. And so Paul, verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of God. Before you're anything else, you need to be a servant of God and be whatever God has positioned you to be. Use your spiritual gifts as God would have you to use your spiritual gifts in serving God in whatever capacity that God wants you to serve him, whatever that might be. For Paul, it was to be an apostle, the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The acknowledging of the truth. Paul is connecting the things as far as what he's doing as an apostle to the truths that God has. And these truths are come from God. And because they come from God, he cannot lie. They are truthful. There's no deceptions. There's no lies in the Word of God. What Paul is presenting, and he's presenting the New Testament teachings of Christ, it is all truth. It's coming from a God who cannot lie, but hath in due times manifested his word, the words of Christ, through preaching. A different kind of preaching than what they'd ever had in the past. In the past, they had prophesying. They were prophesying what the Spirit of God was leading them to prophesy concerning things that were unknown and that they could not know outside of a prophet or a priest. Well, that's a different, there's a New Testament preaching which is different from Old Testament prophesying. Matter of fact, there are no New Testament prophets. There are no more New Testament apostles. All they are is New Testament preachers. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but as we look here, that's what Paul is presenting. And he says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Due times is a New Testament church age, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Jesus has committed this preaching of his word to me. Paul is an apostle, and he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, meaning that he was handpicked by Jesus Christ to carry on the New Testament church and to continue to teach and to preach the words of God, the New Testament scriptures, which Jesus Christ gave us until they were completed and written down for all to have them. That was the purpose of the apostolic age. The apostolic age only lasted as long as the apostles were alive. He knew the truth. The apostles were preaching truth, but they are no longer prophesying the truth. They are preaching what Jesus Christ had preached to them. And so as we have the Bible, this is the Word of God. This is the Word, the New Testament, is the Word of Jesus Christ for us today, New Testament church age. And so as we have the Word, what we are doing is preaching His Word. That's what the apostles did without having the completion of the Bible, but they were the ones that knew the Word of God, handpicked by Jesus Christ, and they were the beginning of the preachers of this New Testament church age. God's Word is true. This church age is the due times. Preaching is the main thing. Not prophesying, but preaching the truths of Jesus Christ. I love the verse we find that Paul gave to the church at Corinth and 1 Corinthians. Let me just read it to you. But chapter 13 and verse 10, Paul said this. He says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which was in part shall be done away with. Everything coming up to the words of the Bible here was in part. Everything about the Old Testament was in part. But when Jesus came, the only perfect man, and brought to us his word, the only perfect or complete truths of God, everything else was in part. But today we have it. Today we have the perfect example of a Christian man, someone to look to and follow after, Jesus Christ. And we have the perfect truth of God in this Bible that we hold to. And we preach and teach and adhere to as well. So the apostles were temporary as God transitioned from Old Testament to the New Testament. Titus, no doubt, had been discipled by Paul. Titus had heard Paul preach, had impacted his life. And now Paul is sending Titus to this city of Crete and to the cities of around that area to make sure that they had the very same truths that Christ presented to the apostles. And now Paul the apostle is presenting to Titus as he presented to Timothy. And what he presented to Timothy, a pastoral epistle, is a guideline for pastors ever since. And what Paul presents to Titus, a pastoral epistle, are guidelines for pastors for throughout this entire church age. And so we have this letter, this epistle of Paul to Titus. We find here in verse 4 and 5, now as Paul established his authority and he established what his intent was, and understanding that now he was given the command to preach, and he is passing that very same commandment down to all of those who would be called into ministry, all those pastors, to have this as an example to go by. And he says to Titus, "Mine own son, after the common faith." And so no doubt, as Timothy was, Paul had been discipling Titus to the pastorate. And we find here he says, "Peace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ." And he says, "For this cause." Now he said, "I'm writing to you, and this is God's will for your life. This is what you are to do. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order." Churches need to be set in order. Not according to man, not according to denominations, but they are to be set in order according to the teachings of Christ. And in setting them in order, the things that are wanting, and in order to keep it in order, ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So Titus was to help each local church in Crete to find an elder, which is New Testament church age, this 21st century church age, especially the position of a pastor. The position of a pastor to set things in biblical order and preach Christ. That's what he was doing. Now, as we look in the New Testament, we find that there's three different responsibilities. The very same office and position, but that pastor's position carries with it three different offices, if you will. One is an elder, one is a bishop, and one is a pastor. All three of them presented to us in the New Testament scriptures. Hebrews chapter 13, as Paul says here, elders. So we're looking at this word elders. If you look over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, we find that the elder, the responsibility of the elder, was to rule. Not to be lords over God's heritage. That's only the position that Jesus holds. No man can hold the position of lordship. Jesus is Lord, period. But these pastors are to present themselves as elders, and that they are to set an order and they are to rule as God would have them to rule under the authority and the headship of Jesus Christ. Now, in doing this, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, verse 7 as well, these two kind of go together. It says in verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now that is a position, but as you look to that, that's the same thing that a pastor does. Verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you." It's a position that God has established to be able to rule the church and the body of Christ, not according to the way he wants to rule it. That's a lord. That's a lordship. We are to rule based upon the call of God and representing the order of Jesus Christ and the truths that he has established. So obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. When it works the way that God wants it to work, can I tell you, there is joy in the church. There is contentment. It is a place of refuge when the congregation and the leadership that God has established are all focused on Jesus Christ and loving one another and serving one another and using the spiritual gifts that God has given to each one of us and serving the Lord into the positions that God has given us to serve in. Can I tell you, there's nothing better in this life than to have the presence of God and the refuge of our church. Well, we need to keep it that way. Because it is so important, we know that we have an adversary. And if we allow him to, he will try to take the peace out of the church. He'll try to take the refuge out of the church. He'll try to take the unity out of the church. He'll try to take the order out of the church, the authority out of the church. And yet we have his instructions and we have his order and we have his commission, and we just need to adhere to it. Stay focused on it. Both the pastor and the church. It's important for both to understand the position of a pastor is an elder that is part of ruling for Christ. The other would be a position of a bishop. If you will, 1 Timothy chapter 3, as Paul writes to Timothy in the first letter, this pastoral epistle, he gives him the qualifications for the position of a pastor. And we find here in 1 Timothy, he calls this person that would meet these qualifications a bishop. Same as a pastor. He is speaking of the very same position, but his responsibility of a bishop. A bishop is a overseer. He is now a ruler. Elder is to rule in that, making sure the organization and everything is going in the way that Christ has established it to go. The position of a pastor in this responsibility of a bishop is an overseer. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work, overseeing, being used of God to oversee the flock of God. And then he gives all these qualifications. And you can't be a biblical overseer, a pastor, without having these qualifications. And then finally, we find the position of, as it is called, the pastor. Now, you'll find the pastor throughout the Old Testament. These pastors throughout the Old Testament were shepherds. They shepherd the people. And so that very same definition of pastor would be that of a shepherd. But we find it listed there in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now we find that the apostles, the prophets, they were the dispensation for that. They were a time frame for that. At the end of the apostolic age, there are no new apostles. The apostles were 12. The apostles were those that Jesus Christ handpicked himself. And of course, Paul on the road to Damascus, he handpicked Paul to be the final apostle in the New Testament. And so we find here, but this idea of a pastor is something that is scriptural. Now, as we look to that position of a pastor, a shepherd, we look over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, I'm going very quickly through the scriptures. Write these verses down. You can study those later. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, he said, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Now, he calls them elders in the verse 1. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, that's not saying this is only elder, but it is part of that same position as a pastor, the idea of elders and bishops. But this right here, what he presents is that position of more of a shepherd. And I'll show you that as we read down. Feed the flock of God. Now, it was a shepherd that had a flock of sheep. He refers to his people in the church as his flock or his sheep. Okay? And so we find here it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being Lord. So he actually addresses the elder and the bishop, the position that he's over. He said, "Not you're not to be the Lord over the people, but at heritage, but being ensembles to the flock. And when the chief shepherd..." Now I love that because he says chief shepherd. And so even though the pastor position is that is described as a shepherd, he is not the chief shepherd. The one that we need pastoring over us more than our local New Testament church pastors is the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. But he gives us an example as the shepherds, as pastors. We look to him for how he would have us to shepherd his flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now go back with me to Titus, because Titus would need to understand that as he is leading these churches to ordain these elders have to meet qualifications and understand the positions that they will have to give themselves to as an elder, as a bishop, and as a pastor. Responsibilities. He would have to make sure that whoever filled that position was able to fill that position as God wants him to. So we go back into Titus, and Titus in chapter 1, he then gives him the qualifications once again. A little bit different than what he gave to Timothy, but somewhat the very same. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be, so we find here another, the bishop there, and Timothy, he speaks to them as being elders, bishops rather as well, and elders and of course pastors, as we've already studied that. But he said, for the bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Holding fast that faithful word, the words of Christ, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Pastors, we have to hold on to sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, to keep everybody on the same picture and following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that both pastor and the congregation of the church need to be mindful of the importance of this position? Now again, as I've been the pastor here since started the church 33 years, and if people are not looking to the position of a pastor as they should be, it's my fault because I have not trained. I have not taught. I have not helped you to see it biblically. I have to preach the entire counsel of the Word of God. That's how we stay on track. That's how we keep the organization in the church pleasing to God. We have to be able to understand the importance of the positions that God established. There was a very important position of an apostle. Praise God for the apostles. But that dispensation, that transition has come and gone. Now that we have the completion, that which is perfect, the Bible, the Word of God, and we have pastors in positions that God has established for the church. Now, as a pastor, as the church grows and we have added associates, they come under the very same position as pastor. Every one of my associates are my associates. They represent me to the church and to the community. That's why, as a pastor, I choose who I want to represent me. I present to the church, but I choose my staff because I know who can represent me and who can't. Amen. I know who has a desire. If they want to pastor, okay, they learn and then they go out and pastor. But if they're going to be an associate, they are an extension of the position that God has given me as the pastor of this church. They assist me in carrying out the work of the church. During a lot of times in hospital visits, we meet every week and we have staff meetings, and they tell me everything about their responsibilities. They go over with me what took place on Sunday. They bring up any kind of situations that we might need to deal with as far as church membership. They tell me what kind of responsibilities they're going to have this week. Tell me who's in the hospital, what's going on here. And when they go to the hospital, they represent me, and I represent Christ. It's the position that God's established. He's positioned the position of a pastor, but it's an impossibility for one man to continue to oversee and to shepherd the entire congregation as the congregation grows. Now, we find in the early church that not only did they have the associates, the other apostles in the church, but they then presented the position that Jesus Christ had established in the church of a deacon. And a deacon position is not a pastor position. A deacon's position is a position to assist the pastor's position. I mean, that's just Bible. That's biblical. As we're going through the distinctive, the biblical distinctives of Baptists in Sunday school, that we'll be getting into some of that. And so I don't want to teach everything that you're going to hear in Sunday school as well. But in the book of Titus, that's what it's presenting. Titus was to go to make sure the churches were organized and they put in order and they had the qualified pastors in position to do the work that Christ wants done in his church. So the pastor needs to be aware of that position, but the congregation needs to be aware of that position. And understand the associates need to be, and the associate's wife, and the pastor's wife. Because there's qualifications for pastor's wives. There's qualifications for, that means in, there are qualifications for associate's wives. There's qualifications for deacon's wives. That means that there is a need for that position, not only as a deacon, but a deacon's wife. Not only as a pastor, but a pastor's wife. Not only as an associate, but an associate's wife. That's Bible. We all need to understand the position that we hold. Now, with that, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. If that position is as important as God says it is, and it is, then that position is going to come under attack. And when the position comes under attack, if both sides do not handle it the way that God wants it to handle, Satan will get a victory in the church. And if we look back in history, even history that we could remember and that we've had a part in, probably past churches that you might have been a part of, and you see what has happened in churches to discourage people from ever wanting to attend a church again, from ever wanting to be a part, a member of a church again, that's the devil. We need to follow Christ and his word. If the pastor turns away from it, then stop following that pastor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it says this to the church. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. That's the position of a pastor. And admonish you. That's the position of a pastor. That's what preaching can do. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. If the church is not esteeming the leadership, the work will not get done. If the leadership is not pastoring and shepherding and leading and overseeing and ruling as God would have them to do it, the work won't get done. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace. Amen. Be at peace among yourselves. Because the work of the church is the most important work taking place this side of heaven. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17. Let the elders that rule well, they're following biblical mandate. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Mainly respect. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Membership must respect and help guard the testimony of their pastors. That goes not only this pastor, but associates, wives, their biblical positions. Every member ought to be looking to protect and to guard their pastor's reputation, their pastor's testimony. That's this Bible. At the same time, no church member ought to ever support or condone anyone in any biblical position that has fallen into sin. You don't blindly follow any man. You follow a man as they follow Christ. Paul would reveal that several times in the New Testament teachings. It's Christ who is the head. All I do is fill a position that God established for the church. And as long as I'm able to continue to fill that position, I know it's God's will for me to fill that position, I'll do my very best to be all that I can be as an elder, as a bishop, and as a pastor. And every church member needs to likewise commit to being all that God wants you to be and serving in whatever position that God has called you to serve Him in and through the church. Whether it's a deacon position, a deacon's wife, a trustee, a Sunday school teacher, a choir member, a nursery worker, whatever it might be, wherever you are engaged in serving, can I tell you, it is very important that the people get involved in serving, because you'll find that you're going to meet some of your best friends and some of your closest help that God brings to you in ministries. Because you have common things that you're serving God together in. You're using your voice in the choir. You're using your abilities to work with children. You're using your spiritual gifts to work in the nursery. Amen. I tell you, you'll find others with the same spiritual gifts that you're going to have more in common with, and that you're going to find can be some very close friends where you can comfort and lift up your brother. How important it is in the church. Wow. The pastor, verse chapter 2, if you go back with me in Titus. Now chapter 1, that's what he's presenting there. He's presenting everything that is needed in that position and the order that he has established. In chapter 2, the pastor will have an influence over the congregation because I preach. And you come to listen. And we do it 4 times a week. Now you might not be in my Sunday school class, but you're going to be under someone that has agreed to teach the doctrines of our faith and present the messages that you need on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night as you have opportunity. So the Bible says in chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. He's writing to Timothy, or to Titus, and he's saying, now, you have a position, and you're going to establish other men in those positions in all the churches. Make sure that you preach or you speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Because as you preach sound doctrine, listen to me, verse 2 down to verse 6, it will promote the continuation of Christianity as Christ would have it. Because as you present this truth that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience, you're teaching the grave men, the older men of the church, this is what God says. And as they do this, then the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. This is what the congregation needs to hear. And as they do this, that they may teach the young. We're promoting the advancement from generation to generation of Christianity. If you're not teaching your children Christ-likeness, they're learning how to live life from somewhere. And every parent needs to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Come bring them to the church that will assist you in doing that. And when you are being taught what you ought to be, then you can teach your children what they ought to do and what they ought to be. And the next generation will be the same type of Christianity that Christ established 2,000 years ago. That's what it's about. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Coming back to that which is perfect, that which is full of truth and cannot lie, the word of God. Young men also likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now he says, speak the doctrine, because that's what the parents need to hear so that they can pass that down to their children. But as we preach, he says in verse 7 and 8, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Not only, Titus, do you need to preach the word, but live what you preach. Because you will give an account. I'm mindful of that. I will give an account for every message I preach, ever counsel that I give. Yeah. Wow. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Wow. The last chapter, chapter 3, because we need to quit here. The pastor is to lead the church to respect civil authority, the laws of the land. As long as they are not against the laws of God, we need to support the laws of the land. Put them in mind, chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. You see, we're living, praise the Lord, the church, when you come to church, it is a controlled environment. No one's is going to be allowed to use filthy language. No one's going to be allowed to bring in worldly music. Everyone ought to be aware of your conduct, your appearance, everything about wanting to identify with Christ. But when you're out in the world, you're going to come up against a lot of worldly things. You're going to come up with people with foul mouths. You're going to come up against ungodly music. You're going to come up against ungodly dress, very immodest dress. All of these temptations, all these things are in the world. But yet, we're not isolationists. The world needs Christ. So put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Even in the midst of a lot of bad works, a lot of evil works. To speak evil of no man, to put no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is the work of the church for the membership. This is the work of the pastor to help the people to realize. Respect authority. Respect the free will of man. You don't have to agree with them. We should never condone anything that is opposite God's will. But the truth of it is, if you're working a secular job, you're going to be working right next. There's a possibility of working right next to somebody that is living a very worldly, ungodly lifestyle. And you've got to be the light of Christ. You've got to have a testimony. You can't control what they do. Don't try. Respect authority. And we have to respect the free will of man. In accordance to the laws of society, the Bible tells us to live peaceably with all men and be ready to give an answer. Be ready to preach Christ. Be ready to give your testimony. Because then he tells us a couple things that all of us need to keep in mind. It's only by the grace of God that we're not sitting where they're sitting. And he says that in closing out this letter to Titus, a pastoral epistle. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. You're going to be coming across these people every day of your life. Foolish, disobedient, deceived. Serving diverse lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. We're dealing with those things. That's part of life. It's just, praise God, amen, that we're not sitting on that side. And our desire is to help them to learn the truths, like somebody helped us to learn the truth. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Whenever it appeared to you. Not by works, you didn't work for it. Not by your righteousness, you can't be righteous enough, which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. And He'll save anyone who will call upon Him. And we need to be there to help them to know there's a different lifestyle than what you've been raised to believe. There's a God who loves you. There's a heaven to look forward to. For He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's who we represent. I represent Him in the position that God established as a pastor. My wife represents Him in the position that God has called her to as a pastor's wife. Every one of my staff are serving Him and representing Him through the position that they're serving in as an associate to the pastor, an associate to the pastor's wife, as a deacon of the Lighthouse Baptist Church and a deacon's wife, as trustees of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, as Sunday school teachers, as nursery workers, as choir members, as part of the body of Christ. Let's all do our part. Respect and love one another. Encourage one another. Let's see the work of Christ continue to move forward through Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's the letter that Paul wrote with the very same encouragement to Titus as God gives to us tonight. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastoral epistle. Exactly what God wanted them to know in the first century and exactly what God wants us to know in the 21st century concerning the positions that He's established in the church, the body of Christ. Father, we bow before You tonight. We love You, Lord, and thank You for the church. Thank You for our Savior who made it all possible. Thank You for the precious truths of the Bible that we can look to and learn from. I pray, God, that as we have taught on this book of Titus, that it would be a help to each one as we serve in the positions you've called us to. Pray that you'd continue to work in and through this church to accomplish great and mighty things. Now bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.